We've got tremendous things going on this morning here. And I want to get to the message today because it's a tremendous message. But I want to start out in a certain way to say that I'm a person who loves an underdog. I love underdogs. Maybe you are a person that likes an underdog. I remember this last Super Bowl that, and I usually don't watch the Super Bowl. I'm not a football fan to speak of. But this last Super Bowl, I was invited to a house and we watched it, and I found myself rooting for a certain team. Now, you guys might not agree with my pick or not, but I can't even tell you who won the Super Bowl, but I can tell you who lost. I was rooting for the underdog. I was rooting for the underdog because I believe that the underdog should always find a light at some time, that they would always find something to be very proud of, right? But pride in the fact that Jesus allowed them to do something. So I root for the underdog, that they would come and they would find the confidence to go out and do more and more and more for the right reasons. That's why I love an underdog. And I think that Jesus also loves an underdog. He loves underdogs. He loves those that people will look like well, they're not very likely to be able to do these things. You know, there's a special place in Jesus' heart that he has for the unlikely person. And he does that on a consistent, constant manner. Those people that the world would look at and scoff at and sneer at and wonder why they're there. Sometimes I wonder, Sandy, if people look at you and wonder, why are you here? And she can stand up and go, that's because I'm the underdog and Jesus loves me. Jesus really does love an underdog. These people that would be written off at a glance, God looks at and enables them to do special, mighty things. People that others would look at and go, you know, it's that person who would get packed last for the team. Maybe you've been there, maybe you haven't. But you stand in line waiting your friends to pick the team, and all of a sudden you're there standing by yourself. That's the person that God looks at and goes, I will use them for mighty deeds. And one of these groups is referred to, well, numerous times in the Bible, this group of people. This is a group where others look at, especially at that area in time, and go, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of their group. That's not my clique. That's not who I am. They wouldn't associate with them, especially this group, merely because of their occupation even. You ever find that sometimes you don't associate somebody because they stand out differently in a different area? That they have a different job? Or a job that you don't look at on a favorable basis. There's people that stand outside the circle, so to speak. And this group of people in particular was one that would, well, they would spend a lot of their time outside. They'd spend their time in the heat of the day, of the driving sun, when the temperatures would get well above 100 degrees. They would be a people that would spend their nights out in the wilderness, when the temperatures would be driven low. They're a group of people that would travel, well, several miles a day just to find a favorable area for them to rest. And perhaps you guys have an idea of this group of people I'm talking about, but if you don't, I'm talking about shepherds. I'm talking about a group of people that in the Bible that were scoffed at, were looked down upon just by merely because of what they did, the way they looked. They were a group of people that, well, normally wouldn't get to bathe on a daily basis. For some of us, that would be an ender right there, right? If I didn't get to take my shower or bathe in some way, that's not something I'm going to do. This is a group of people who would not have the most magnificent or fancy clothes to wear. A lot of times their apparel was very tattered and worn because of where they were at. They would get caught on all the things around them as they tended to their sheep. This is a group of people that were a lot of times were just scoffed at. But the fact is, without this group of people, there would be a larger group of people that would just go without. You see, shepherds took care of sheep, right? And sheep were a very, very much a part of society, especially for the Hebrews and those people in the Old Testament, especially. That's where they got a lot of their nourishment once, from the meat that was raised by shepherds. A lot of their clothes came from the wool of the sheep that they took care of. In fact, in regards to sacrifices, the sacrifices that they were going to give to God in the temple, a lot of them would have gone without and had a hard time sacrificing without access to the very thing that shepherds took care of for them. But these people were still scoffed at, looked down upon. They were kind of shunned from society. They hung out with themselves and their comrades, being pushed out of society and everything that went on in there. I wonder sometimes if the honor that shepherds held in God's heart was due to the fact of their loneliness. Because a lot of times they just spent their days and their nights alone. They certainly didn't spend it a lot in the cities with a lot of activity going on. They hung out with, fellow shepherds. And that was about it. But you can't argue that shepherds, you can't argue that they didn't hold a special place in God's heart. If you read through the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, you will see multiple times of God going out and using shepherds for His plan, for His ways and what He was doing. If you start clear back in the beginning of the Bible, you will know that Abel was a shepherd. You would know that Abraham was a shepherd. You would know that Isaac was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. Joseph was a shepherd. And of course, you can't forget Moses and David. And one other one that I'm going to point out that is, you may not remember him right off, but Amos. Do you remember the prophet Amos? He was a shepherd. And there's a reason why God chose these people, chose the shepherd as somebody that He wanted to bring into. The shepherds encompassed an attribute God was looking for. And this attribute had to do with leadership. It had to do with guidance. It had to do with protection. It had to do with caring for those in their charge. This is what a shepherd did. This is what they do for their flock. Shepherds do these things. So it's no wonder that Jesus referred to Himself as a shepherd. And this is where we're at in this series of the I Am statements Jesus has made, is that the statement where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to see exactly what Jesus is saying at this point in time. In John chapter 10, verse 14 and 15 is where we're going to be. I'm going to give you just a few moments to get there. I know they put the words up here in front, though, but it's always good to see them in your scripture, whether it's something that's written or whether it's an app. It's all good. All good. John 10, 14 and 15. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus calls Himself the good shepherd. And why not? He is the good shepherd. But if you look in there, I find it striking in there what He says after that. He says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. That seems to me like to refer to a familiarity between who he is and those in his charge. That he knows specifically who you are. He just doesn't know you as a number. As farmers and ranchers around this area usually have to go out and mark their cattle, their livestock, put a tag in their ear. They don't have a name, but Jesus says, I know each and every one of my sheep. I know you. And because I know you, that means we have a relationship, which means that you get to know me. This is Jesus saying that. He wants you to know him. He wants you to be a part of his life. He wants to be part of your life. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Jesus, as a shepherd, is the one who comes together, who guides us, who protects us, and who cares for us, right? He's part of that structure that we have in our life when we become a follower to say we know somebody that protects us when we go into dangerous areas. We have somebody that encourages us when we're down. We have somebody that gives us energy when we're feeling so low. We have somebody that lifts us up. And this is what Jesus does as the good shepherd. This is why he's the good shepherd. And there's no one like Jesus in the world, right? There's no one like Jesus in existence. No one who can do what he can do, because Jesus does something that no one else can, and as a shepherd is great at doing it because Jesus comes in and he changes lives. We just heard somebody stand up here and talk about how Jesus changes lives, about how taking somebody out of a sinful area in life where they did degrading things to live just and survive, where people had taken them and twisted reality on them. Jesus took that person, said, I'm going to change your life, and I'm going to bring you out from darkness with my light, and he does that. And he does that for everybody. It's not just some people. Everybody who chooses Jesus gets to receive that. He changes lives. And it's great. It's something that is, well, stupendous. It's not usually a word that you use very much, stupendous, but I don't know how else to put it. It's stupendous. Because Jesus gives us the means and the opportunity, and he protects us in many different ways. We talk about how Jesus has worn the armor, and when that point in time when he was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and the tempter came to him where Jesus wore the armor and defeated the tempter. Jesus says, you get this so you can be protected spiritually, but he also protects us physically sometimes. Did you know that he protects you physically sometimes? Yeah? There are many times when I was in law enforcement, before I knew Jesus, I thought it was all my own. And then about 5 years, you know, before my retirement, I look back on everything that I had done, every occasion, every circumstance, every situation I had been in. Some of those are very, well, to say the least, they were a little bit harrowing. And I finally recognized the fact of who protected me. And I give glory to Jesus for that. Because Jesus not only protects us physically, but spiritually. In every aspect of our life when we let him in. This is who Jesus is, because he is our shepherd. He gives us what we need when we need it. He gives us sustenance when we need it. And he does this because we are his sheep. We are not just a sheep. We are his sheep. He knows us and we know him. You know, Jesus, in his way of doing things, he tried to explain this fact to the Pharisees to try and get their attention, to try and get them see the way of how God actually wanted the Pharisees and the Sadducees to be. In fact, it's in the book of John. And if you still have your Bibles open, you can look at the book of John between verses 1 and 5 and read what Jesus had said in there, the fact of saying, hey, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Now, hopefully you remember that part from last week when we're talking about the gate. But he goes on to say, The one who enters by the gate is a shepherd of all the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. He's trying to tell the Pharisees, you are strangers, and your sheep are not going to follow you because they don't know your voice. You need to be the shepherd of your flock. Verse 3, it says again that he says, I call my sheep by name. Do you hear Jesus calling your name? Do you hear him saying, you are mine. My voice is calling out to you. He's saying to you, Larry, come to me. Come to be a part of me. You are my sheep. And he leads me into those places where I am to be. You know, sometimes we don't understand the voice part of it. Sometimes we don't understand what Jesus is really trying to say here. So I want to break it down just a little bit and give you a little bit of backstory so you understand exactly what Jesus is talking about. You see, when shepherds had their sheep around them, they had them flocks out in the wilderness, right? And they would usually carry the pen with them. Now, this pen was something that was made of sticks, branches, vines, whatever. It would be an enclosure. And it would be such a high enclosure so the sheep couldn't jump over it, right? Because whether you think of it or not, sheep can jump. So they'd have this pen that was very tall. And in there, they would have an opening for the pen, right? A way, one way to get in and out. Now, a lot of times, as we as the Western half of society in the Western Hemisphere, we draw this pen, we put a gate on it to say, this is how we keep the sheep in here, right? That's not how they did it. There would be no gate on this pen. What would happen is the shepherd would call a sheep into there, and the shepherd would sleep across the opening of the gate. And because he was sleeping there, all the sheep were inside safe, and all the predators were outside. He was the one watching over the sheep. But Jesus is mentioning something else in here about the gatekeeper and hearing the voice and so on and so forth. Well, that's because it was a little bit different when they would go into a populated area. In a populated area, there would be one common area to bring all the livestock into. It was kind of like a communal area for all the flocks to go in there. And they would go in there in that area, and they would intermingle all over. Once you let the livestock in there, once you let all the sheep in there, they just went wherever they wanted to. But there was a gatekeeper to make sure that the sheep stayed in the pen safe where they're supposed to be. And it would come time for the shepherd to leave. The shepherd would walk over to the gate, and he would start calling out to his sheep, and he would call out to his sheep by name. See, the shepherd named his sheep. And those sheep would hear that shepherd's voice, and they would come running to him. And those that didn't recognize the voice went running away from them. So you would have that separation. And the shepherd would lead by his voice with his sheep following him out of the pen. And he would lead them away to where he was going. This is what Jesus is talking about. That's what he's talking about. It reminds me when I get home. Like when I get home today, you guys know we have a little puppy called Simba, right? It's a little puppy, a little fur ball. He's so cute. And we put him in his pen area to keep him safe. He's got food, water. He's got a place to go potty. He's got a bed, a place to sleep, right there. And as soon as we come home, he hears our voice. And it gets us so excited, right? And we call out, Simba, Simba. And he's getting really excited. You open the door, and boom, he comes out. He's got a little zoomies going on and everything else like that. You know, because he's excited to see us. Why? Because we are friends. He loves us. We love him. Right? And this is the way it was between a shepherd and his sheep. They were friends. He loved them, and they loved him. And this is the way it is with Jesus when he's our shepherd. When we call Jesus our shepherd, we love him, and he loves us. That's what the sheep is. That's what he's talking about with the sheep and the way they act. But being a shepherd entails a lot more than just that aspect of it. You know, being a shepherd was a very dangerous occupation. Very dangerous occupation. Shepherds would deal with all kinds of menacing circumstances to their flock. You know, if you were to read in the book of 1 Samuel, you would read about David, you know, the King David, right? Before he was king, he was a little shepherd boy. And it tells about in 1 Samuel how sometimes a predator would come and take one of his sheep and he would go chase it down. And he would take the sheep back from the predator. If the predator came and attacked him, he would dispatch the predator. He had to deal with lions and bears and things like that. Ever think sometimes that if you're a shepherd that you would ever have to deal with lions and bears? Jesus, as the good shepherd, deals with lions and bears for us. He gives us the protection that we need when we even least likely to realize we need that protection. He delivers it. And in some ways, well, in one way in particular, he protected us. When he laid down his life for us. And as a shepherd, Jesus knew that that was a possibility. If you're still in the Bible, if you're still in the book of John, look at verses 11 through 13. It says in here, Jesus goes, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I laid down my life for the sheep." Jesus died for us so that we could have life. He died for us so that we would not experience that eternal separation from the Father in heaven. He gave his life so that we could be forgiven of our sins. That's what Jesus did as the good shepherd. Now we look at that and it's like, well, Pastor, does that mean I have to lay down my life for my flock? And if you guys are looking up here and you're thinking to yourself that you're not a shepherd, you are. You have your own flock. Whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, acquaintances that come into your life, you are a shepherd. It's like, Pastor, does that mean I have to die for them? Maybe. If that's what God calls you to do, you know, maybe. But I think in some ways, Jesus was more or less going, there may be a little time that would have to happen. But there's also times when you just have to lay aside what you're doing in life for a friend to be a shepherd, for an acquaintance to be a shepherd, for a person to be a shepherd. That means we need to stop coveting our time and considering every inconvenience in our life is detrimental. There are times that we need to set aside what we're doing. We all like to have our days put together. This is what I want to do today. This is my plan. I've written it out either in my heart or even on a piece of paper, said this is what's going to happen today. And if this doesn't happen exactly the way I've laid it out, then my day is a mess. It's a terrible day. But Jesus is going, sometimes you have to take time out of your life to do something else for somebody, to be a good shepherd, that you would lay down your time of your life for this event. That's going to happen numerous times before you're probably asked to lay down your life physically. But that's what we're called to do. Jesus, he laid down a lot of his life just for us. Just for the people at that time to do things with them and for them. But he also laid down his life physically for all of us. That's a way we can minister to others and be an example of Jesus. By just being a good shepherd. You know, Jesus never called himself a priest. He never called himself a bishop. He never referred to himself as an elder. He never referred to himself as a preacher. But he did call himself a shepherd. That's what he wanted to be known as. He just wanted to be a shepherd. And he did this because, well, he knew that we needed a shepherd. He did this because he knew what we were capable and incapable of doing. And whether you like it or not, whether you like being called sheep or not, we are all sheep. I stand up here as a shepherd, but I am a sheep. I need Jesus. I need Jesus to come protect me. I need Jesus to care for me. I need Jesus in my life because I need Jesus to protect me from those things in the world that would want to come to kill and steal and destroy me. I need Jesus. And Jesus is my good shepherd. And I hope he's your good shepherd. I hope he's the one that you look at and go, I give my life to Jesus because he knows me. He knows my name. He knows everything about me. He just didn't know me as a number. He just doesn't know me as a clan of people. He does just know me as a Christian, but he knows me. He knows what's inside of me. He knows what I deal with. He knows where I hurt. He knows where my joy is laying at. He knows where my peace is at in any moment of any time. And Jesus is that one person. We talked last week about how he is the gate, right? He is the gate. But he's so much more than that. He's the good shepherd. And when you take the gate and you take the good shepherd and you put it together, what does that mean? It means you have life. You have life now and you have life everlasting. So I pray, this is my prayer. This is my prayer for all of us. Whether you sit in here today, whether you're one of the multitudes that's just enjoying a vacation time, whether you're one of those that's listening online later on, pray that you would know Jesus as your good shepherd. Because when you know Jesus, he knows your name. And he'll provide everything that you need. So as you leave here today, I want you to think to yourself, is Jesus my good shepherd? And if you leave here today, think to yourself, am I also a good shepherd just like Jesus is to me? Because that's what we're called to do. That's part of that great commission. And I want you to all rest in the fact that if you know Jesus, you have life. Not only life now, but life forever. So I'm going to ask Jesus to bless you richly. For those of you that need to know Jesus more, I pray for that. For those of you that don't know Jesus at all, I pray you get to know him in every aspect of life. Because that's a glorious event. When that happens, and we celebrate that, just like we celebrate when people are baptized, we celebrate when people come to Jesus. Amen? Amen. So as we get ready to close out today, let's stand and let's just worship and thank Jesus for being our good shepherd, for being exactly what we need, when we need it, and how we need it, for being the light that comes into the darkness of our life and drives out all the darkness that anything else would bring in.